is games and more entertainment radio.
I'm Seymour.
And I'm Koba.
I played so much that game.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is. Games and more entertainment radio. Games and more entertainment radio. Games and more entertainment radio.
I've listened to the show for this long. They know that I don't give a fuck.
Ludacris kill.
Okay, this is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 107. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
And this is the radio show that we do every week at the website hwhq.com. You can email us at c4.gameradio@gmail.com. You can join us on IRC at irc.oftc.net. That's the server. The channel is Gamer, little pound symbol in the front in case you don't know how to use IRC. There are instructions in the forums. And I do want to mention, since I'm talking about the forums, that we have a very important thread in there under the it says game radio related section. Down there, we have a thread about how we're going to handle the Game of the Year show or the whatever of the year show. Because every year we drop the ball horribly bad because I'm never prepared enough. So we don't ever have the categories correctly. We don't ever have like any kind of nominee setup or anything that we should have. And so this year, I mean, we've started like last week, and maybe I should probably let it go for a couple more days. I actually planned on ending the category thing like yesterday, but that didn't happen because I was lazy and stuff, and I was at work, and then I went to the movies. And so maybe after this airs, I'll stop the category thing, and then I want to do, once we get the category straight, we'll have a nominees thing, and then we'll have everybody write in or post or whatever the hell, and once we get, you know, the category straightened out. Because this, I want it to just go good, just once, nice and smooth, you know, not people making up their own categories, but we did have some awesome ones made up.
That kind of worked well last year, though, like you were saying, because there's the, one person would come up with this crazy category, and then we'd throw our two bits in about that category.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool, but it was
a
little
crazy.
But they
can do that on the forum.
Exactly.
And we can pick ahead.
Put it on the forum, right, yeah, exactly. Also, you may have noticed that the sound quality might actually be okay for once. And I do not know what to blame. There's a new version of Audacity out, and I'm thinking that that might have fixed our problem.
You know, thinking about it, when we switched last time, we might have started getting that problem.
Yeah, I think maybe.
And we didn't go back because
I'm a big believer in version numbers. More is better, even if it doesn't do anything or removes features.
Well, there's that, but there's also the fact that it was actually recording more than 45 minutes.
Right, yeah, it was crashing out before. That's right, yeah, that was a big thing for us, is letting it record the whole show and not just in segments. But this time our problem is we might be too loud because it's all clear and nice. I don't know what to, I'm kind of excited. I'm so happy to not see it being weird for the first time in as long as I can remember. Exciting stuff. Yeah, the new version of Audacity is 1.2.4. They even have the beta you can try for 1.3, but I ain't touching it. And once again, I had to install new sound drivers because Intel cannot, or Realtek, whichever one of the two, can't write drivers or get their shit straightened out. Every week it seems like there's new drivers for this motherboard. And so I got new sound drivers again. I've been at each last show we've done for the last like six shows has been different drivers. I don't know if I've mentioned that before, but I'm really getting tired of it. It's pissing me off. But also, in the beginning of the show this time, I actually wanted to mention, because I'm too lazy to update the website, and I don't know why. I need a better way to do it or something, or I just need to just do it and put it on every page or something. The mirrors. Zayfan put up a mirror for us of like the latest 10 shows in MP3 format, in case you can't get to our site, because it does go down every now and again, I've noticed, for whatever random reason. It's Corrupt Daemon, that's corruptdaemon.net/gameradio. Titenti, I always have a hell of a time trying to pronounce that, and I'm probably doing it wrong. TITTENTEI.filecloud.com. He's got MP3s up there from like 90 and on. Mm-hmm. Also, I noticed, what else was, he had some other crap on there too, so you kind of have to weed through it. It's just like a storage place for stuff. So,
a big page.
Yeah, well, it's kind of their weird little interface, this file cloud thing. Oh. So you actually, it only shows like 15 files, And not all of it's just us. There's like a theme for Mortal Kombat or some other random stuff on there. But like the current shows are there, but it goes from lowest to highest. So like on page one of 15 files, you won't see anything but like 90 and then some of his stuff and like up to 99. You gotta hit next page or show next 15 or whatever, and actually even 106 was up at the day it was posted on the site even. I mean, it's very on time. And Jason Scott, the original mirror we had, audio.textfiles.com, you can actually get there if you go to their little audio shows thing. It's on the menu, but if you want to go straight there, it's audio.textfiles.com/shows/game radio. And he actually has 1 through 99 up there in AUG and MP3 format.
Nice.
That is uber. Yes. Jason Scott is everybody's hero. Now, we've got, oh yeah, the email. Wow, I forgot this. We had a huge pile of notes this time. God damn, we still have more. Email. With the last of the ink that I had in the printer.
You've been running out for a while.
Yes, man. I have, and I finally died today. Now, we talked about the Xbox 360 last week, and got a little bit of shit for it because we slammed it pretty bad. And I want us, and you know, the reason we did that was because it deserves it.
Yes.
Yeah. It wasn't because we're Microsoft Nazis and whatever it is, you know, or it just, the simple fact of it is, if any machine came out, it was in that state, we would have to tear it up.
C4 is even being blamed from time to time of being too much of an Xbox whore.
Yeah, really. And now we're telling me, no, you guys hate Microsoft. Well, okay, yeah. I may not like Microsoft very much, the company. You know, they do some pretty shady things, but you know what? Take that aside. And look at just the Xbox is what I'm looking at. This has nothing to do with Microsoft's practices. Mm-hmm. This has to do with exactly what's wrong with the Xbox 360. That's all I care about. If, you know, at this point in time, that's what I'm talking about.
If the Revolution has this many problems, we'd be more pissed.
Exactly.
We'd be slamming it even harder because it's something we really wanted to be good.
Yeah. And Christ, Nintendo doesn't suffer from these problems usually. They usually don't have all kinds of major issues. I mean, if you know, Microsoft, I mean, granted, I half expected some problems with it, you know, because, well, look at the Xbox. Exactly, you know, and I don't know. But, oh, we there was a whole lot of talk about the scratched CDs or DVDs in that. Remember, we actually mentioned that, and there was I was seeing a lot of problems with Madden, which I'm guessing now has been shown to be caused by slightly moving the console. If you look at, it's llama.com or something, I can't remember. Anyway, he's got a video up there of what exactly is happening. He sacrificed a few game discs just to prove how this, what was causing it. Now, I assumed it was Madden only because I'd seen like 6 or 7 instances of Madden discs
and
being
never
scratched.
Anything else.
Yeah, and I never saw another disc being moved at all, or another disc being scratched at all. I was also under the impression that none of those were ever moved at all.
But wasn't Madden the one that was in the locked case?
It's in a locked case, but I mean, I guess it could be bumped a little bit and nudged. It's not like it was mounted to the floor or anything. It was just kind of positioned there, you know. So I guess it could have been bumped around a little bit. And the one that was up top, God only knows if somebody was up there messing around with other stuff, because like the tuner was up there for the stereo system and other stuff, so somebody may have bumped and scratched the disc. However, the video up there they have, whatever the site is, I'm sure everybody knows, it's kind of a green and white page, and the guy sells like parts for Xboxes and shit. You know, like if you need a replacement drive, he'd be more than happy to sell you a Samsung drive for $140. Yeah, as opposed to just buying a new Xbox. But they had a video up there, and they showed what they did was they took their Xbox apart and took the optical drive out of it, painted the whole laser assembly and all that crap with like a silver Sharpie that kind of leaves it, you know, wet a little bit still, put the disc in, turned the damn Xbox on, tilted the Xbox really slow from vertical to horizontal or whatever, and you hear it go and rip the disc up.
Whoa.
Well, when they took it out, you could see the disc was terribly scratched. And on top of that, when they disassembled it again, you could see where the paint was missing, so they figured out exactly where it's scratching the disc and what part is causing it. Hopefully somebody at Microsoft is paying attention and will think to lower that a good, you know, centimeter or two so that kind of shit doesn't happen. Because unless Microsoft is going to be replacing discs for people, this could be a major issue.
Which somehow I doubt.
You know, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen either. And you know what I think this is going to do? This is going to get people like Best Buy and Future Shop and Electronics Boutique and all these places, GameStops and whatnot, to further push their, you know, $5 insurance they have on the games, you know, where you can pay them an extra $5 and they'll insure your game or whatever, and if it gets scratched or whatever, they just give you a new one, which I think is a load of crap. We were talking about this earlier with the hardware. You know, how is it that it's okay for them to release a piece of hardware like this, and people are like, oh yeah, just get the warranty on it. Just the extended warranty, as if, you know, you should be expected this thing to die after 90 days. You shouldn't, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's ridiculous because these companies are starting to make us be okay with their crap not working and to have a ridiculously high percentage of failure rates.
Did you ever have a Nintendo Entertainment System die on you?
No.
Did you ever have one die on your friends?
No.
Did you ever have a Sega Master System die on you?
Well, no.
You didn't have one.
I didn't have a Nintendo either, but I had plenty of friends that did.
Right, okay. Now, I had both of those. Neither one of them died on me ever, and I kicked the shit out of those things.
Yeah, I've played regular Nintendos that were 20 years old.
Yeah, and they work fine.
And they're all scratched
up. My Genesis worked fine forever.
I've played one that didn't even have the case anymore because it cracked.
You know?
And the damn thing worked just fine.
Exactly.
You had to blow on everything like 12 million times.
Right.
But the thing would run.
That's why the games were so good. You were nice and lightheaded, remember? That's why we think they were so great. You know, and yeah, exactly. I had even my Nintendo 64 was nice and burly. And my GameCube, I have rarely seen busted ass GameCubes. But you know what I see all day long? Xboxes and PS2s. All the goddamn time.
Now, I hear it.
PS1s you have to flip upside down to play still.
I hear it now, and I'm gonna go ahead and mention this. But the Xbox 360 is infinitely more complex than the Nintendo system.
That's Microsoft's defense.
That's true. That is true, and there's a lot more areas for problems to happen. That doesn't matter.
No, you're right. It doesn't matter. This doesn't happen with my computer.
No.
I buy computer hardware.
My computer is infinitely more complex than that 360 is. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on.
And oh, man, I don't know. They don't offer you a service plan when you buy a sound card. You know, they don't offer you a service plan, you know, at these places when you buy a new video card. They're pretty nice pieces of hardware. However, you know what? I should look into this. I was reading a story somewhere. I don't remember where there is an expected, like, life expectancy of, like, the 7800 GTXs or something is, like, hella short. Like, hours per day for, like, X amount of, like, load single digit below five number of years. Like, 5 hours a day for, like, 3 years. That's, like, the life expectancy of that. Yeah, isn't that ridiculous? ATI's card of their X1800 is, like, super fat. You can play, like, for, like, 9 years at, like, 18 hours a day, right? And I remember seeing – I have to look into it again. And it was, like, an NVIDIA 7800 GTX was, like, 5 hours a day for, like, 3 years. That's fucking retarded.
Yeah.
Not that most people keep their video cards that long. That's not the point. What if you do? A lot of people do, but not that most people, I don't think.
That's my point. I honestly think that a lot of companies are building these things – for planned obsolescence. They're wanting their shit to blow out, to conk out, so that you have to buy a new one. And I think those steps are happening too early.
Yeah.
And so like 15-20% of these Xboxes
right.
are conking out too early, earlier than they're being planned on. And that's retarded. I mean, how often do we have to buy new crap anyway because something better comes out? Be happy with that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I can't think of one part that I have laying around in a computer here that's, like, super old. The oldest thing I had was my sound card, and as everybody knows, that died a couple months ago. And that was maybe 45 years old. Yeah, well, maybe not. I don't know. It was an original Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from the first run, even. I got that thing, like, right away. So, I don't know. We should probably get started on some emails here. We have from Ramday on the Xbox 360. That's why I wanted to talk about that right off the bat, because we had two emails. Might as well pack it into the front of the show. Hey, Mr. C4 and that other guy.
Ooh. That would be Kobar?
That would be Kobar. What did you call yourself? Chopped liver? I just wanted to say a few things about the Xbox 360. Being a home theater guy, the entire media center thing interested me until I discovered the damn thing won't play any MPEG-4 files. No DivX, Xvid, or any of that stuff. Hell, no QuickTime or anything. Your videos pretty much need to be Windows Media Video or MPEG files, and he probably means MPEG-1 or 2. You'd think something intended to be a media center would play the most common used compression methods. Maybe Microsoft will grace us with the option to buy some overpriced codecs off Alive and I thought you said in the future, from them. There was one thing that surprised me about the 360. You can hook up an iPod to it and play your MP3s from it as long as they have no DRM on them. You can even replace the soundtracks on any Xbox 360 game with it. Not sure if it does with Xbox One games that had the custom soundtrack feature. I know you can't use your iPod in it, but you could replace a lot of the soundtracks in some of those games, yeah. As much as I am a home theater buff, I'm also a retro gamer, so the option to buy some retro arcade game emulators off Live was pretty cool. Under the Games tab is an option called Live Arcade. They only had a few games from Williams featured right now. There are Rampage, Gauntlet, Smash TV, and Joust from what I remember off the top of my head. Emulation seems pretty decent, but I'll stick with my MAME. What it does have over MAME is live multiplayer modes, and your progress in these games will count towards your gamer score. There is an option to try a timed version a la share mode of each game, so you can try them out before you plunk your money down. That's pretty much a keep up the killer show. If you find any spelling or grammar errors, it's because my F7 key is broken. Ram day. Now, what he doesn't know is that that was like take 5 on email because there was quite a few. I think F7 spell check. I don't know. It must be spell check. All right, Xbox 360 crap from. Oh, he put his real name. Okay, CBK. Hi, C4N Kobar. This is CBK coming from London, UK. I got to say that I love the show. Great job for keeping it entertaining and interesting after all these episodes. He's so full of shit. Although I would love to continue to compliment your show until you are willing to grant me sexual favors, I need to bitch about the shitty Xbox 360. The man spells favors how I spell it. I like that. It's coming out in the UK very short. It's coming out in the UK very short at around £280 for the full version without any games. And most shops are selling each game between £45 and £50 compared to 30 to 35 for PS2 and Xbox games.
Which is like 1.8 times in the conversion, right?
I have absolutely no idea.
I'm pretty
sure. So I'm going to go with, okay. I recently got, that's a good idea. If you could tell us when you give us the pricing, let us know what your
I'm pretty sure pounds are like 1.8. It's like almost double.
Jesus.
So if it's a $50 game, that
he's paying $100.
Almost. Like 85.
Right,
something.
Maybe, okay.
$85 for a game probably on the low end.
Yeah, 90 or so. Jesus Christ. Okay, that's ridiculous. That's where is it? A flank in Australia? His prices are ridiculous down there, too. That's insane. Okay, wait, I lost my place. I recently got to play around on the Xbox 360 at my local game store, and I must say, what a disappointment. I played about 10 minutes of Call of Duty 2, and already owning the PC version, I was not impressed. Just try throwing a smoke grenade, and then after a few seconds walk through the smoke. The game slows the fuck down. It's unbelievable that for a machine that can run 6 threads of code at any one time, and has the GPU equivalent of the BFG in Doom, that there should be any slowdown. It's not like there was any other action on the screen, just one lonely smoke grenade. I also got to play a bit of Project Gotham Racing 3, and again, nothing special. The graphics were nice, but not mind-blowing, as you would expect from the hype generated around the Xbox 360 specs, and the gameplay was the same old tired formula I've seen for ages. I've been a gamer since the good old Sega Master System days, and I was very pleased to move onto the PlayStation when it came out. Brand new PlayStation? £150. Gran Turismo, £35. Look of utter bewilderment and first premature orgasm as I realized the replay were not from real life race, priceless. And I have you know, I thought those were real. Oh no, it wasn't a PlayStation 1, it was a PS2.
Right.
And I saw Gran Turismo, was it 3 or 4? 4? And I swear to God, I thought it was from a real race.
Or maybe it was 3.
It was 1, I think it might have been 3. I think it was 3. Maybe. Who knows? Whatever. One of the two that was recent, 3 or 4, blew my freaking mind.
4 was the most recent one.
It might have been that one then. And I really thought it was real. It's a real shame that over the last 2 or so years, I've lost that spark for console gaming, whereas my PC games are still going strong. I have lost almost all interest in my consoles. Typical, this is a good email. I got a few points I want to make after this too. Typical story. The other month, I bought Metroid Prime 2 for the GameCube with my mate. Got home and easily completed the first few levels. And I realized that even though the game was quite cool, nice controls and graphics, etc., I've seen it all before. It has been so long since the game has utterly captured me, like Gran Turismo, Tekken 3, Final Fantasy 7, Chrono Trigger, Wonder Boy, and Super Mario All-Stars. Please don't get me wrong, all those games are pretty crap to play now. The graphics look much better in your mind than they do in real life. But the point is that I was utterly hooked on these games, and I haven't played anything on the console that has had the same effect on me for ages. So you can imagine my disillusionment at playing the Xbox 360. I thought the extra crap load of power they chucked in would produce games that would graphically blow my nuts off.
That's a good phrase.
Yeah.
Graphically blow my nuts off.
Oh, that's gold. All right. I'm afraid to report. I almost can't read this. I'm afraid to report that my nuts are still in the same place they were before I played the Xbox 360. Sorry if I went off the point slightly, but I really need to bitch about this subject. Please don't fuck this show up because it's awesome. The best internet radio program I've listened to. Keep up the good work. Lots of love from England, CBK.
That's That's an excellent point. There's so much more they could do with all that extra power, and all they're doing is pushing more polygons.
I'm sorry, I'm still laughing over here. You know, you're right, exactly. And I was reading somewhere, probably on the Enquirer, I think, they were talking about the prices of these games, and the guy made a really good point. Why are we paying $10 more for these games? Are they $10 more fun?
Are they $10 more work?
Probably not. Probably not. They like to, you know, they're saying, oh, it's going to cost this much more to publish that game, this much more to design that game and everything. Seriously? I don't really know how true that is. Okay? We get
proof that they're like 10-man people can make a perfectly
right. can
really
make
good-looking
game. Now, you wind up with Electronic Arts, okay? This is my favorite example, okay? These sons of bitches. $59.99 for Madden 2006 for the Xbox 350 version. So you're looking at $60, okay? Now, did anybody else happen to... I didn't even notice, I read this somewhere, that there's no sports games on the compatibility list for the Xbox 360? They are forcing you to pay for those games again from Electronic Arts. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, if it cost them more to develop Madden for the Xbox 360 than it did for the rest of them, okay, if it did, why is there less of the game there? It's the same game, at least as far as the name goes. Madden, 2006, NFL, whatever the hell, right? Why is there less features in that game, then, than there is in the PS2 version and the Xbox version, which cost them $10 less to sell, or for you to buy? I don't understand it. And I think it's because they just want to squeeze a little bit more money out. That's all I can figure. Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
This is a load of crap.
It's a lot more than a load of crap.
It really is. Now, okay. Actually, he had so many good points. I'm like kind of skimming this again. Okay, he's talking about the Call of Duty 2. Now, I noticed the same thing. I thought it looked just like it did on the goddamn computer myself. But he says that, you know, it slows down when you run through the smoke and everything. And then goes ahead and mentions that, you know, this should theoretically, like they say, this will run 6 threads at a time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything I heard, though, about the Xbox 360 before release did say that these first generation games are single threaded games. You know, so they're just like everything else. So there's nothing special about them yet. Which I would like to say explains that. Because they've got the processor in there, maybe fairly burly and all, but...
no one's coding for it yet.
Specifically for it, exactly. Call of Duty 2 was a PC game. This was ported to the Xbox and, 360. And, you know, you can probably tell that, too. Just like when you can tell a game has been ported from a console to a PC. You know, it feels different, it looks a little bit different, it's just a different game overall. And he goes on to mention here about his console games and how he's still playing the crap out of PC games. I have every console in this house of the last couple of years, you know.
Except for the 360.
I don't have a 360, okay, but I've got a PS2, a GameCube, a Dreamcast, an Xbox, my PS2 will play PS1 games, okay, and the amount of time that I spend on those games is nothing compared to the amount of time I spend playing computer games. And I don't know why that is. If console games are supposed to be taking over, and they're going to kill the PC market again, how is it that I can barely sit down to play a console game anymore?
You know, we keep hearing that, and even it's even came from my mouth, because there's been some lulls where I got a little worried, I got into the hype and whatnot, but when I think about it and I look overall, we've heard that an awful lot of times.
We have.
We heard it when the PS2 came out. We heard it a few years after that generation was around, and there was quite a lull when you and I were saying it, and like all of a sudden, Best Buy's selection like went from three racks to one.
Yeah,
and that was a little worrisome. But you know what? I'm thinking about it, and I don't think that's the case. I think the PC game market is going to be just fine.
I think it is too. I think it's going to be fantastic, and I believe this because, you know, Microsoft is also trying to beef up their console game or their PC gaming again. You can use your Xbox 360 controller on your PC even. That's pretty cool. I like that because I like those controllers a lot, like probably more than I should. I'm really thinking I'm digging those controls, and I'm thinking about picking one up just to have it. You know, because I don't like the controller I have for my PC currently. That dual Logitech deal. It's all right, and it does better than everything else I've played so far. But then again, I use my Xbox controller anyway now because I like that better than that, so I don't know. But, yeah, I cannot sit there now for hours on end and play a console game. And I'm not so sure if it's like my ass has formed to my desk chair.
Oh, yeah, that's part of it.
You know, you think that? Yeah, I mean, why can't I sit on the couch anymore?
Why can't the couch is not your spot.
I guess.
No, that's not all of it by any stretch.
No, but if
you
I brought...
You do feel more comfortable right there...
I do.
...than in the living room.
So maybe I should get a TV from my desk here. We'll just throw a TV right here between these two monitors.
There you go.
And then I'll jam some console games out up there. I don't know, but I don't know if I could... Well, maybe I could do that. I used to do it before, once in a while. I don't know, but I don't know why I don't get into console gaming as much anymore.
That's how I used to have it. I can't, well, in my living room, because it's too spread out.
Mm-hmm.
But when everything was in one smaller room, that's what I did. I just turn around and bam, there's my console.
Maybe I'm used to playing games like in my room like 10 years ago when I lived at home and everything was right there. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I have a hell of a time playing console games.
That's how I prefer it. I don't like everything being so spread out.
Yeah, me neither. I want everything to be accessible from my chair.
Yeah.
If I could get a toilet chair, I would. I swear to God.
You have a little mini refrigerator?
I used to. I love that, man. I didn't have to move. My days off, it was nuts. I'd get like a bed sore from sitting in my chair.
Growing up and moving into a bigger apartment, you got everything's all spread out. I'm not sure I like it so much. I kind of miss having the one room, like the
place where you're at.
It was like a cockpit.
Yeah. It was. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Everything was in reach, too. Yeah. You'd have like DVDs and CDs stacked
shelves
up a mile high.
Yeah, yeah.
All reachable from your chair, though. It was fantastic. It was nice.
And you were in the pilot's chair, and everything was just so-so.
The phone was within reach. It's like, I got to get the fuck up and walk over to the kitchen part over here and answer the phone.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You know what I do? I don't answer the phone anymore. Maybe that's why I don't play console games. They're all over there with the couch. I call it over there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in the same room.
It's a big room, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. Anyway, there's something to be investigated here, though. There really is. There should be a study about this, like your comfort level. Or something with your area and your console area and your PC area, and we need some real hardcore scientists to figure this out, or real hardcore gamers or something. Like if I had the TV right there, like right next to me, like behind where Kobar's sitting, I bet I'd play more console games. Keep an eye on IRC, you know, and I like to keep an eye, like to surf the web when something randomly pops in my head. This is why we all need to become gargoyles. It's a term from a book. Was it from Snow Crash? Maybe. Where, yeah. Where, anyway, you walk around, you got all this, like, gear on, so, like, you're connected to the interweb all the time.
Yeah, that'd be fat.
That would be the sickest shit. Anyway, alright, there's another email from BigBoy2008 on GoldenEye. Now, everybody remembers GoldenEye, I'm sure, from the Nintendo 64. It's, like, the fattest game that thing ever had. Let's see. BigBoy2008.
No way, Zelda.
I played more GoldenEye than Zelda, easy.
Ocarina of Time.
For
life.
No way.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone knows this, but it's just struck my attention. It has happened. Finally, a GoldenEye remake is coming out. Yes, you heard me right. The original GoldenEye is not only coming out again in all its glory, but yes, they are using the Source Engine. This is the original Nintendo 64 version. The only difference is, and I'm sorry to say so, no single player. Yes, this is a multiplayer-based game, but new modes will be added to it, but once again, no single player.
So if it doesn't have single player, which is what GoldenEye was, it was a single-player game with
multiplayer. And it's running on a PC on the Source Engine.
Multiplayer capability, and it's got new modes, then it's...
Not the original Nintendo 64 version.
At all.
With the only difference. But the multiplayer was the best part of the original anyway. Ooh, I don't know about that. I loved the hell out of the story of that and the missions. That's what I played a lot. It will have the same guns, same characters, same levels, plus new ones. It will have the same type of physics used in the Nintendo 64 version with the addition of the Source physics. Okay. And,
which is a lot of physics.
Right. Because doesn't that use Havoc?
Yeah.
I think so. And to top it off, brand new graphics. Okay. Let me reword this email then. Somebody's making a GoldenEye-themed mod.
Yeah. It's going to control completely differently because it's going to be keyboard and mouse.
New graphics, new levels, no single player, new gameplay, yeah, new engine, okay.
Yeah, so it's a mod that has the same...
Title.
Guns.
Right, exactly. The game will be free for download when it comes out, but is only in alpha testing at the moment, and beta testing doesn't start for a long time. Tried in September 2006. Now I'm a patient person... and if this game is all cracked up to be, I'll download it. I'm, for one, very excited about this game and can't wait to get my hands on it. Might try the beta testing if possible. Here's a link to the site, www.goldeneyesource.com. True gamer, BigBoy2008.
No, we're poking fun, but it does sound like it could be a
good
idea.
Right, no, it does, and I'm sure that I'm going to check this out because I dig GoldenEye.
But it is a GoldenEye themed mod.
Right. This is nothing just like the original whatsoever. Now, we have... I could have sworn I had two... Oh, I do. Oh, they're just stuck together. Two emails on Soul Calibur 3, and one of them is very long and one of them very short.
Which is blowing my mind!
And one of them is from a well-known writer to our show, MC Cushion. And it's the short one, which I'm actually going to read second, just because his is more of a public service announcement.
Are we in the Twilight Zone?
I think it's the Bizarro world. I think you should be doing most of the reading today.
No, I don't think so.
All right, let's see. This is from Final Dragoon. Hey, guys, Final Dragoon here again with another email for you. And you know what? He finally gets to have his piece. Because every time we try to get him on the show, he winds up complaining about not being able to have his moment where he can just talk without people cutting him off. And here I am cutting him off already. Let me try this again without interruption. I apologize, Final Dragoon. You've been with us for a long time. I mean, no disrespect. Hey guys, Final Dragoon here again with another email for you. Hopefully it won't be as long as those essays you've been receiving lately. Anyway, after hearing you were going to talk about Soul Calibur 3 on episode 107, I finally decided to put together that email about the game. So here we go. Thank God he did this too. First thing off is the graphics. The characters themselves have been slightly updated from their previous version's incarnation. The real improvement in the graphics is the stages and background effects. Simply put, they are awe-inspiring. Take one look at the Lost Cathedral ruins and you'll agree with me. This brings me to my next point, which is the stages themselves. One quick warning, if you hate losing by ring out, then this may not be for you, which is slightly harder to ring out in 3 than it was in 2. While it is slightly harder to ring out in 3 than it was in 2, take notice there are only about 2 or 3 stages in the whole game that you cannot cause a ring out in some manner. Other than that, all the stages offer up some diversity thanks to the beautiful backgrounds that accompany it. Now let's step back a minute and talk about something I mentioned earlier, that being the characters. There are technically 3 new characters in this version. That brings the total to 25. But wait, it doesn't stop there. You also get bonus characters that show up in other areas of the game, which I will most likely describe later. That brings us to around 50 characters, but we're not done yet. Yes, the highly touted addition to the franchise, the Create a Character mode. I will give Namco credit for finally implementing this into a fighting game. While it isn't as deep as some character creation systems I've seen, this one definitely holds its own. First, you pick whether you want your character to be male or female. After that, you pick a job, which in turn determines what weapons they can use. After that, you change your appearance based on what you have unlocked or bought. I'll touch on this next. With up to 10 created characters per memory card, you can see how much fun you can have with this already. At this point, C4's mouth must be dry from all the talking, so I'll try to hurry things up. Unlocking items can be done in one of two ways. Complete an X amount of fights to unlock it, or do the required prerequisite for it. This either outright unlocks it, or allows you to buy it in the game store. The 3 shop girls, of course, of which are unlockable as bonus characters. Oh, man. Remember the hot one in the one store? Sweet.
It's like the... quadruple J's.
Yeah. That runs the stores offer you weapons for all characters, armor for the created character, and various items. Art gallery, weapon demos, additional character creation slots. Oh, wow. The story? Look, if you spend time figuring out the plot of a fighting game, then you need something better to do.
It's amen.
Just, yeah, no shit, huh? It's just a bunch of people fighting over 2 swords. 1 good, 1 evil. Simple, right? The sound. The music is just as good as the last version, a few new additions. The characters themselves sound okay, nothing really to brag about. The only negative to the game is the Chronicle of the Sword, which is a half-assed strategy game with ungodly long load times for the fights. If it weren't for the fact that a lot of stuff can be unlocked from completing it, I wouldn't bother with it. Overall, though, this is one fighting game that you cannot pass up. Even I, as a hardcore RPG player, found myself swept away in this franchise. If you like weapons-based combat, if you like fighting games, hell, if you like jiggly boobs, don't wait for the fluff that is Dead or Alive 4. Go out and buy yourself a copy of Soul Calibur 3. My rating, 45 out of 50. Bam! That was a hell of a good review, too. You touched on everything. Because we were going to talk about parts of it, because, I don't know, we actually both had some time to play it ourselves.
Me a little bit more than C4, but...
Yeah. I intended to, but I was feeling a little strange this week, so I didn't play anything. I was on strike. I slept 10 hours a day, like every day. I did nothing this week. It was fantastic, and I still feel like shit. Okay, let me squeeze in the last email. I can squeeze in a cushion email. How weird is that?
Yeah, I'm like blown away.
And then we will get back to Soul Calibur 3.
Cushion, quit. Like, this is not right. This is... The world is coming to an end.
Ripple in the fabric of reality. MC Cushion, hey guys, I've heard you're recovering Soul Calibur 3 on your next episode. Well, I am currently playing the game. Lots of fun, but not as arcadey as the last one. And I have a word of warning for people playing the game. That's right, this was our PSA for the week. I was going to get into a long story about how I found this out, but I'll cut to the chase. Do not delete files off of your PS2 memory card while you have a saved Soul Calibur 3 file on it, or it will corrupt the Soul Calibur 3 file on it, or it will corrupt the Soul Calibur 3 save file.
Huh.
Yeah.
That was a lot better than what I was thought he was going, though.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to corrupt the whole thing.
Me too, everything else, yeah. From the looks of things, after you delete a file or files off the PS2 memory card, Soul Calibur 3 will load OK the next time you play it. But when you go to save or autosave, the game will say the save file is corrupt and you will have to delete it manually from the PS2 browser and continue the game without saving. Thanks goes out to the few forum sites I found this out from. Also, keep in mind that I only have one memory card, so I couldn't test whether or not you can put in a new memory card and still save, or whether the entire system is screwed. I'll bet a new card would have saved it. It just makes sense. So that's my tip to the gamer fans. If you plan on deleting files off a PS2 card with Soul Calibur 3, copy the file off to a new memory card first. Thanks. That's all for now. Cushion. Wow. That's some messed up shit. Now I'm like all afraid, and that's gonna sit on. Well, wait a minute. I don't have. See, I don't have a second memory card either. So, but
I need one.
I didn't. Yeah, I started to when I started playing Champions Heavy. All of a sudden, I had a bunch of different characters and shit, and all of a sudden, I ran out of space. Like, just bam. But I have a lot of crap on there, though. But so yeah, I don't know. What did you think about it?
So first of all, I seem to think that the ring out is quite easy in 3. I seem to have a lot bigger problem with ring out in this one. And I hate winning by ring out. I think it's just cheap.
It does.
It doesn't feel
cheap.
Right.
It does. I'm not a big fan of it either.
So I don't like losing by it. I don't like winning by it. I prefer a fight to play out. Because you could have someone on a perfect and he's almost dead and you're right by the wall and he does a knockout move and whoop, over the edge you go and you lost.
Yeah, just like that.
And you had him, like...
Smoked.
Stomped.
Yeah. All it takes is you falling out of the ring, and they call it a ring out, where you just instantly lose.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what everybody's at for hit points and whatnot. And that bugs me. I don't like that at all.
I kind of understand it, because that's common in a lot of ring fighting.
Right.
Like that's just a rule. You go out of bounds, you lose. Or you lose a point, or you lose something. You're not supposed to go out of bounds. But at the same time, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I really like the idea that, like, Dead or Alive has, where when you knock somebody out of the ring you're fighting, you go to another ring. That's way cool to me.
Yeah, and, like, maybe it does a lot of damage or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's fucking cool to me. I like that idea. It changes scenery in the middle of the fight.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And when round two starts
Mortal
up...
Mortal Kombat does that a lot, too.
Yeah, right? See, exactly. I like that. I think that's a really neat feature. Ringing out, I think, is kind of crap. Now, there's a lot of people that are going to say, oh, that adds a lot to the strategy. It does. Doesn't mean I like it, still. It's
right.
Just a minor complaint on my end. You know, I did like that game was nice and smooth, very fast. I did
and
not
does,
see
it
slowdown.
It does look very good.
Yeah, the graphics are nice.
I don't think the graphics are all that much better than Soul Calibur 2, but they are very polished.
Mm-hmm.
It has a very nice look to it. I'm very impressed. The combat itself is very similar to I didn't really notice a whole lot of it. In fact, most of the normal guys have pretty much the exact same moves.
Right. Which
some are a little different. Like, there's this, my favorite character is Killick, and he has this truly cheap move where he does a 3-hit combo that knocks you down at the end. And, all you had to do was press forward and triple tap A in 2. And it's a little harder to do now because if you are running, it does a completely different move now.
Oh, okay.
And so it that helps a little bit. So they I think they tried to trim some of the really cheap moves, except for Raphael. He still has that forward and tapping A and the ha ha ha. And
oh,
he like does
yeah, that bullshit.
The real quick
yeah.
stabs at you, and you can just sit there and do it over and over.
Yeah.
And I went into practice mode to test it out. I got like a 900 hit point combo just from doing that.
Oh, my God.
And you have a whole lot less than 900 hit points.
Yeah.
And the guy had no chance. And
see,
just by doing that one move, and that's bull.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a load of crap. So, and on top of that, Taki is my favorite character, the ninja chick, and she still has her one hit knockdown, and it's forward, and then whatever the hell button it is, like her one attack, one of the attack buttons, and bam, she kind of rushes forward and pops you one in the stomach, and you fall over. And I love that damn move, you know. So they still have stuff like that. It's just a little too cheap, I think. Because I open a lot of fights with it because it's so fast. Mm-hmm. She kind of hella dives forward with it.
Right.
So it's really kind of hard to block unless you see it coming.
Yeah, it's I think there's too many of those cheap moves in Soul Calibur. And they still have what I call the easy button. It's like, it doesn't do hardly all the moves, but it has a lot of moves on one button just depending on which way you're directing the stick, and you press that one button and it does a wide variety of moves. And there's several characters where you can fight almost exclusively just by tapping that button.
See, speaking of the controls of this is where I think this game falls apart for me. I hate the block button. It completely destroys fighting games for me. And I don't know why they don't implement a system where if you hold back, it puts you into block, and if you hold what would be the block button, it would take you out of block and let you walk backwards. That's what I need to have in a game where you hold the damn button and you block, because I can't get used to it. Maybe it's too much 2D fighting, maybe it's too much Street Fighter or Guilty Gear or Killer Instinct Gold or whatever version. You know, I'm just used to back being blocked for me, so no matter what I do when I play this game, I get my ass beat because I think I'm blocking. I cannot retrain my brain. It's really strange. Like, I try like hell. I've actually changed it to a better button, and I block a lot more effectively now. Like, it's like on L2 or something, or R2, one of the two. And I
hate it on X.
That's the worst button. That's the one I go to for base attacks all the time.
Yeah, that's because you're so used to
every shooter, every action fighter, adventure game. Yeah,
any game
everything.
Where you're fighting. X is like the basic attack, and then maybe circle or square will be a different one.
So it kind of screws me up. But the unlockable elements in this game is fat. I mean, if you just love seeing all kinds of new shit, dude, you play for 10 minutes and you unlock like 15 items, levels, people to play. It's way
awesome.
That
slows down.
Well, of course it does. I mean, they get you hooked right away, but it's awesome because there is a lot of stuff.
I really, really prefer how Mortal Kombat does it with the crypt. Where you get points from fight doing whatever, and then you can unlock it.
Well, you earn money in this, and you can buy some of that
right.
shit.
Right, but like Final Dragoon's thing said, he has to play this mode that he doesn't really like
right,
all that
yeah,
much.
Right, yeah, to unlock
to
that
unlock
stuff. Yeah.
I like having it so where you fight through the normal mode once, and you get so many points.
Right, okay.
And then you can go into this crypt and unlock something, and randomly you don't know what it is.
With your coins, that
right.
starts with a K.
Right. I don't know if I particularly like the style of the crypt. And
right,
not,
right, right, yeah.
But that sort of idea, where you go to a room and you randomly pick like a card or...
Yeah, like, because you know what else does that, and I like it a lot, is F-Zero GX, or whatever the hell it is. They do that, where you can race and have a good time, and as you play more, you've accumulated points, you go to the shop and buy whatever the hell you want.
Right.
That is a nice way to do it.
And even, I don't even know if I like being able to just, I want that unlocked, and so you save up your points. Can't keep it random. That's fine.
I like being able to pick what you want because you know there's some things I totally don't even want to deal with.
Right, right.
You know, why am I going to want to unlock weapons for one of the dudes I'm not going to use? You know, Ivy, I can't stand her. Why would I want any of her stuff unlocked? I'm going to unlock all of Taki's stuff first. You know, because that's what I want. That's who I play. I want to see all the fat shit she can get. Then I'll dick with the other characters.
And then, but their idea is if you can do that, you're going to unlock everything you do want.
And then probably
and then
stop playing.
What's the point of continuing playing?
That's a good point, yeah.
Because you've in the first third of the game, you've gotten everything you wanted out of it, and now what's the point?
Well, you know...
If it's random, you may have to play the whole damn game and play a lot of it to unlock every last
thing. Yeah, but nobody would want to do that. I mean, you know, like... I want to play a fighting game and enjoy my time and have a lot of fun with it, and I'd love to unlock all the shit, but I'm not going to play a game for longer than the point where I kind of just start losing interest and I get sick and tired. Like, I have to beat it 7 times a day to maybe have a 10% chance of getting an item for my character.
It's true.
You know, that sucks ass. That's not going to be much fun for very long if I'm trying
to
unlock stuff.
But you like those odds with MMOs.
So. Well, yeah,
you
know I do.
Hours and hours and hours and hours for
that's
the
because
10% chance of getting something.
It gives me an edge on other people. This is an edge versus a computer. And it's not even
not
an
even
edge,
an
it's
edge,
just a style.
Just a,
like just
a,
look.
A new a
weapon
new...
that doesn't do any more damage, it just looks different.
Well, the weapons at least in 2, I haven't unlocked any weapons yet.
Uh-huh.
But at least in 2, different weapons had different things. Like, one weapon would be less damaging but have an HP regen
every time
you
right.
hit.
They had weird stuff, huh?
And that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That is way cool, right? But there's no, like, online play for this.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sony. You know, you've gotta, if you're gonna, come on. A fighting game. Most people I know don't like to play fighting games. You know, if I ask anybody I know, I want to play Street Fighter, they'll say, sure, we'll play 2 rounds and go, fuck you, I hate playing Street Fighter with you. Right? This is what the interweb is for, or Xbox Live, or whatever the hell it is. You know, so we can play with people who want to play the game with you. You know, and we'll accept losing,
or even
whoop your ass, so you can train.
You can sit down and play with me for hours on end, but you're just gonna wallop me over and over and over again.
At Street Fighter, anyway, you'd beat my ass at everything else. So, well, maybe not Killer Instinct. I think I'd whoop your shit.
Probably. I was pretty good.
Oh, really?
But it was a long time ago.
Yeah. No, it was ages ago. But I still remember most of the moves too. Because I played Orchid.
I played.
As long as you didn't play Saberwolf.
No, I played Glacius.
I
played Saberwolf.
Saberwolf is the easy character. Left and right, and then any button, and you whoop fucking you rock house.
When I wanted to be cheap,
you blow people's nuts off.
Yeah, when I wanted to be cheap, I played Silver.
Yeah, Saberwolf. He was
just like if I wanted to be cheap in a
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter, I'd play Blanka.
Yeah. Now you know who else is good at that is Bison. He can do his little Psycho Crusher thing back and forth. That's such a load of shit. Yeah. Anyhow,
I usually played Glacius.
He was pretty badass. I liked Orchid, and I played Jago a lot, or whatever his name is.
And the
Jagoff. That guy was pretty badass sometimes.
And the main character, sort of. The one that was on the cart, the robot dude with the claws.
I have complete mental failure of what's on the cover of that game.
It's the robot dude with the claws.
He looks
huge.
Yeah.
He has like a ponytail thing, kind of.
Kilgore!
Yeah.
Wow, alright. Damn, I haven't played that game in fucking forever. Yeah, he's pretty ferocious, too. He was badass. I missed that game! Come on, Rare, do you hear me?
Do they even exist anymore? I could
have
Microsoft
bought them. They own 51%. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. They made, Cameo and something else recent. What the hell else did they just put out?
Which is too bad because they're the ones that were doing the Donkey Kong stuff and doing a fine job of it.
GoldenEye. Conker. That's what they did recently, too. Yeah, so it's like, God damn it. Give us... there you go. There's my killer app for the Xbox 360.
There you go.
Killer Instinct 360. Call it what you want. That's my killer app. That's the game I want to play that bad that I would buy hardware for it. How's that? Wham! You've heard me speak, Microsoft. Compile it, and they will buy. All right. On to the news. We had two pieces of news. One's really quick. One's like a whole little page here in my hand. The Dreamcast turned 7 the other day. That's fucking old.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it's been so long.
I thought it was longer.
Really? Oh, I didn't think it was quite that long. But that's pretty dope. It's like still around, too. There's still like a total homebrew community for this and everything. People dig it.
Cool.
I'm happy. Yeah, I still have mine. The damn thing's like in mint condition. I got one controller. I don't have like my Rumble Pack anymore, though.
Or the thing with the screen.
I have one VMU.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I used to have like 5 red ones. Now I got one white one. Yeah. Anyway, remember the game ban they had in Montana and California and Illinois?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the game law that we had that was supposed to take effect January 1st, 2006?
Not letting minors buy
violent
games.
And sexually explicit or some shit like that. Right. Listen to this. You hear that? Awesome, huh? Oh, wait a minute. Okay, judge. let's see, wait a minute, what do you got? This is from CNN, actually. Wait a minute, you know what, I totally blew past one email. Fuck, we'll get right back to that. Let's see, Springfield, Illinois. A federal judge ruled Friday that Illinois' restrictions on the sale of violent and sexually explicit video games to minors are unconstitutional and barred the state from enforcing the law. Wham! That's owned on a federal level.
Yes.
State officials have, and this is a quote, have come nowhere near, end quote, demonstrating that the law passes constitutional muster, said U.S. District Court Judge Matthew Kennelly. He just slapped him down and said, go fuck yourselves. It's unfortunate the state of Illinois spent taxpayer money defending this statute. This is precisely what we told them would happen, said David Veit, president of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, one of the groups that sued over the law. That is burly. So that's not going to... This is the one that would charge them like $1,000 or whatever, you know, for selling these kind of games to minors and whatnot. So the judge also said, in this country, the state lacks the authority to ban protected speech on the ground that it affects the listener's or observer's thoughts and attitudes.
Yeah, that's very true.
Listen to that again. In this country... The state lacks the authority to ban protected speech on the ground that it affects the listener's or observer's thoughts and attitudes. That is burly right there.
That's the parent's job.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. I wanted to read that story because I really liked some of the what they said in this, and just to know that it, you know.
You know, at first I was like on the fence. Who the hell cares? Like, make M Games illegal for minors to buy. What the hell did I care?
Right.
But hearing him say that, that's right. Totally true.
Yeah. He also said this law would interfere with the First Amendment, and that there wasn't a compelling enough reason, such as preventing imminent violence, to allow the law. That's I'm this California. Listen up, open your ears because you're gonna get shut down. Okay.
Yeah,
now we missed an email that was a hell of a good email. It's like we spent the most time investigating this email than anything, and somehow I skipped right the hell over it. This was the one. Remember about the Nintendo?
Right.
Okay. This is from Data Maggots, and he must have did some serious crawling to find this because the story's from like April, but it was very valid.
Yeah.
This, just let me give out the URL. It's tinyurl.com/B5NH8. And this is about Nintendo and Microsoft and Sony sales, in the year 2004. Now, granted, we're looking at, you know, nearly a year old here, but these are some very interesting figures now that we have them all, you know, finalized and on paper and everything. Do you want to go ahead and break this down? I'm getting really thirsty and my Faygo's running dry. Faygo, black raspberry.
Well, the idea is it's basically quote unquote common knowledge that Nintendo is last in the arms race right now. They're just totally getting stomped by Microsoft and Sony.
This is what everybody says. You've heard me say it a million times. You know,
Nintendo, we all thought it.
Bring it up the rear. You know, they're getting stomped. My favorite, Nintendo is going to go the way of Sega.
Mm-hmm. So it turns out that according to different countries, official,
like retail sales reports.
Organizations that watch this stuff.
Right.
We're talking about third party, completely unbiased. They're just looking at the numbers and reporting what happens.
Right, exactly.
So in Japan, in 2004, Nintendo sold 5,070,676 units. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sony sold only 3.4 million. Okay, Microsoft bringing up the rear with a whole 37,982 units. 37,000, 38,000 almost for the entire year. While Nintendo sold
over
5 million.
Yeah, like 70,000. More, almost double extra over 5 million than what Microsoft sold total.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gods.
So that's just laughable.
Yes.
Because
that's
now,
embarrassing.
Now, Sony's, the PlayStation 2 is number one. Okay. With
right.
almost with 2.9
million units in 2004 in Japan.
Right. But Nintendo holds spot number 2, spot number 3, spot number 4, spot number 6 out of 8.
Right.
Okay. And Xbox is number 7, only pitifully slightly above the PS1. Now, this is Japan. We all knew that Xbox was just
right,
dying
getting just
in Japan.
Smoked.
I didn't realize it was that bad.
I know.
But we're talking big numbers here. I mean, 5 million against 3.4?
That's a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Right now, look at the, okay, the PS1, 14,163 units. Okay. That's the PS1.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the original PS1. Now, obviously, you know, the Sony fanboys right now are losing their freaking minds right now. They're going nuts. You can't say that Nintendo's doing so good. Okay, we can, because this is the video game market, not the home console-only market, right? We got the PS2, and you have to account for all of Nintendo's products. This is where, you know, these numbers come from. The Game Boy Advance is right up there with the PS2.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else that Nintendo sells puts them over and above Sony as far as market dominance.
Right.
Okay. And those are some big numbers when you're looking at 5 million total over that total units versus 3.4 million total units. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff. That was a 60% market share held by Nintendo.
Out of three people, out of three major
three companies, Nintendo had 60% of the sales. That's Microsoft and Sony combined.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
In America, it's not that much of a different story.
No, it's not.
In fact, if it just the numbers are much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo, as of July of 2004, because we looked for more recent stuff, and there's some more recent stuff.
Broken down by month is what we have past that, but not added to the total thing. We could have sat there and added them up ourselves, but, like, I wasn't about to whip out the
math. And even then, it's not into 2005.
Right, yeah.
But this is still valid stuff. And from what I've heard, the DS has just skyrocketed from these numbers. It's doing much better now.
Keep in mind that the PSP was not out during this period here, from like up to our July 2004 numbers. Right. So the PSP was not out, which isn't doing that great anyway. Really?
No. DS, even though the PSP was not out here, the DS from the numbers I could find a while back and then couldn't re-find today.
Yeah.
said the DS in every country is totally whooping the PSP.
Smoking the PSP.
But anyway, as of July 2004, Nintendo had sold 30.2 million units, while Sony sold 24.4, and Microsoft only sold 9.3.
Jesus Christ. Right, that's, and for Nintendo, though, that's 22.5 million Game Boy Advances.
Right.
And 7.6 million GameCubes.
Now, when we're talking about just the home console market, it is true that
Nintendo's getting pretty stomped. Yeah.
But,
Everybody's getting stomped, though.
Right.
Because you're looking at Sony with 24.4 million PS2s versus 7.6 GameCubes and 9.3 million Xboxes.
And when we look at the year overall, Microsoft and Nintendo are almost neck and neck.
Right.
There's very little difference. When we're looking at just consoles,
the
GameCube and the Xbox did very similarly. And, more importantly, Nintendo didn't lose money on every Xbox.
Right.
They made money on every
Xbox. They didn't lose $500 million.
Yeah. So we're talking...
In fact, Nintendo made the most. They made over $1 billion.
Oh, yeah.
It was $1.03 billion.
Sony is way less than that.
Yeah, it was. They were still definitely in the black. Mm-hmm. They made like $600 million.
In fact, the projected numbers for this year, and we haven't seen the actual numbers, but the projected numbers from their mouth, from Nintendo and Sony themselves, said that Nintendo was thinking they were probably going to make about $75 billion net in 2005.
I don't remember.
I think it was 75 and 80. And Sony said
billion.
What?
That's a huge number. 75 billion? Well, I guess so, huh? No.
No, maybe it was a million. But
it must have been a million. No, that doesn't seem high enough, though.
No, I think it was 75 million net.
Okay.
Which is money after...
Right. That's all just, the crap.
That's just cheddar.
Right. The Benjamins.
Whatever it was, Nintendo, who is only a video game company. So they were going to make 75 million net. I think that's what it was.
Okay.
But million or billion, the point is valid either way. And Sony was saying that...
Because we're talking about the same units here, so whatever it was 75.
All their efforts, their TVs, their DVDs, their computers, their cameras, their music, everything, they were going to make 80.
That's probably because they put so much money into doing things like their rootkit. Yeah. Bastards.
So, and there's some more stats, but it's all the same.
It just
shows it over and over and over again.
Microsoft actually outsold Sony in September.
Ugh.
September 2004, Microsoft sold 265,000 Xboxes. Sony sold 253,000 PS2s.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty crazy. Or PS2s and PS1s. I'm sorry. This includes all Sony and all Microsoft and all Nintendo products.
Right.
That's why these numbers are different than probably what you see, because we're trying to include, you know, this really comes from, how come everybody says Microsoft or Nintendo's dying here? God, I do that a lot.
And they're not. They're making more money than the other two.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you have, your fears are unfounded. We're here to soothe, thanks to Data Maggot, we now know the truth of who's going to roll out here on top, okay? Nintendo's bringing in the money. They're going to get, you know, the good games, and they do, you know. They pump all this money into game development. They make money on their hardware, you know. Bam. You've got a killer deal here.
Nintendo's not going anywhere.
No, they're not. They're not.
And they're going to, and as long as their console is making money, which the GameCube did, it didn't lose them any money. They didn't have any problem with covering any of their expenses. It made money. They're going to keep doing it.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Why would they?
Of course, the DS and the GBA is their bread and butter. That's
right. Yeah.
they are still, even with the PSP, just dominating that market.
Right, exactly. And in September, they had 55% of all systems sold for the month of September 2004. In November of 2004, Nintendo sold almost 2 million units total, right? Microsoft at 708,000, okay? And Sony at 694,000 PS2s only, okay? Nintendo whooped some shit in November of 2004. That's more than both of them combined still.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't have the actual numbers anymore, but I did see that the DS has just skyrocketed since its software has caught up to it.
Right.
So it's got a nice catalog.
I
want to
find some more
now.
Hard numbers, too. I like seeing all this, though, because it's like, it alleviates my fears. I could breathe a little bit more, you know. Ah, I was okay with that all of a sudden. I was all right. You know, I was a little scared about Nintendo there for a while. You hear a lot of rumors. The doomsayers out there, you know, the fucking Sony fanboys particularly.
Well, and they're looking at just consoles, and they're right.
Right,
in the console market, Nintendo... Well, actually, that's not true, because like we saw, they're actually pretty neck and neck with Microsoft.
Right.
Microsoft's getting stomped just as bad in the console
that's
market.
That's true. As a matter of fact, in November of 2004, when Nintendo sold almost 2 million units, only 350,000 of those were GameCubes. That's less... But that's half of what Microsoft sold that month. But they sold 1.1 million Game Boy Advances and almost 480,000 DSs. That's a lot of... That's an insane...
And this doesn't count any of the software sales.
Right.
Which Nintendo is much bigger in the software department than Sony is. I mean, how often do you hear Sony games coming out?
Like from Sony themselves?
Yeah.
And not very many.
I mean, they happen, especially with SOE.
Yeah.
But Nintendo was way more into first party titles.
Yeah, right. And they're a lot better games. People will pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that was an awesome email. I'm glad. I cannot believe I skipped right over that, but it was because I had to flip ahead to our Soul Calibur notes, and so I blew past the whole page. Let's see. I gotta do this. I have to throw this in now, or we will forget once again. And it's like 4 weeks now or something. I've been pushing back. The movies, okay, because other than that, we only had some other things to talk about that, like, if you wanted to talk about Mario Kart, which were...
Well, we decided that we could do that real quick, because there's not a lot to it.
Basically, it's Mario Kart.
Basically, it's the best of Mario Kart, is how you could put it. They took all the things that really worked in all the different versions, like the dashes and the hopping
from
the first one, yes.
Oh, thank the Lord.
You can hop, like, in the first one, you have the map on the bottom, which not only shows you the map, but it shows you where everybody is. And when you're using the ghost at it, it actually shows where...
This is dope, because I used to get hooked on racing against my ghosts.
you can see where you, at the map of this ghost, where you did a hop, where you did a power slide, where you used a mushroom or played a banana or any of that stuff. It has little ticks and marks and stuff on the map showing where all that happened.
That's cool.
But otherwise, it's mostly just like the best of Mario Kart.
They took the maps from the old
Mario
Kart games.
They took all the different Mario Karts, the Super Nintendo one, the N64 one, the GameCube. Was it two GameCube ones?
No.
Was it two N64 ones?
No.
There was only three?
There was Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo, there was Mario Kart 64.
There
and there was
one for the GBA.
There was one, yeah,
there's
Super
the
Circuit
one.
Or something. And then there was one on the, there was this one on
the
GameCube.
Double Dash.
Double Dash, yeah.
That's where that fourth one came from. Okay. Basically, they took all the most popular tracks and put them into this one and then added a few other. There's 32, I think. 32 tracks. The multiplayer is supposed to be really good, not quite what it should be. You don't get to play all the tracks. There's no way to talk to any of your opponents. You just have to kind of hop into a match and play, and then you're done. But how are they going to do it?
They have a microphone.
They do have a microphone. That's a lot of data.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, yeah, that would congest the network a little bit too much, and that would fuck up the race, and that'd be worse.
Mm. But it's according to everything I read, it's like the best incarnation of Mario Kart there
that
is.
That sounds fat. That's the killer Game Boy app right there for me. That, and I gotta play some Castlevania. Some DS action.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Right, and as far as notice he said you can play over the interweb.
Yes.
Right, that's
and
dope.
Even if you don't have a
eight
wireless...
Eight players or some shit?
Yeah.
God, that's cool.
And even if you don't have a wireless router, you can buy in the store a USB connector that is specifically designed to wirelessly connect to your DS.
Whoa, what the hell?
Yeah.
You just plug it into your cable?
Yeah, so like you, since you don't have a wireless, it's like, it looks like a thumb drive.
Okay.
It pops into your USB port.
Right.
And it's an antenna.
Where does that get a signal from, though?
What do you mean? From the DS. It connects wirelessly to the DS.
It connects, through my computer's wired connection.
Right, right.
Oh, wow, that's, meh. I don't know. That's pretty cool. I wouldn't use it, but that's pretty cool.
What the hell not?
Why? Because I would get one of the universal things that would, that wouldn't work on a... I have no freaking idea.
No, those things connect to a router.
Right,
they don't
right.
connect to another computer.
Right, yeah, yeah.
This...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Huh, that's pretty cool then.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn cool.
So those people that don't have the wireless routers can still connect to the internet and play.
That would be those of us. You have one.
Right.
Awesome. That's kick-ass. That's really good news for another nice, fat Game Boy. In fact, we're going to get a flood of email about this, because these hardcore DS guys are going to have it real soon here now that it came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I bet you money.
You missed so much!
Yeah.
And from what I can tell, thank the freaking gods they decided not to deal with the touchscreen.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see anything where you have to, like, touch it to slide or
some
bullshit.
Yeah, that would piss me off.
Because when it makes sense, by all means, use the touchscreen. It's a nice addition to a lot of things, but they've been putting a lot of games that use it for no good reason whatsoever.
And I was on that side of this argument for months. I said, damn it, you have it, use it. It's cool. And I've been converted.
Yeah, no.
If you don't need it in your game, it's a hindrance as all hell.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think they're going to get that. I think it went, now that it's been out for a little while, and
everybody knows that you can touch the screen now,
right?
And you know, yay!
There's plenty of things you can do with the touchscreen that are really awesome,
right? Yeah.
But if your game doesn't call for it, for God's sakes, don't use it.
Yeah. No. Okay. Good news on the DS front there. Nintendo proceeding to whoop some ass and blow people's nuts off. That is going to be my new tagline. I swear to God. Okay, on with the movies and stuff that we had to talk about. First of all, one of the coolest things I think that has come out in a long time is the Beavis and Butthead box set, the Mike Judge Collection Volume Number 1. This has like 40 episodes of Beavis and Butthead on it, some that said they were like never released. They had like the Video Music Awards with Beavis and Butthead with Kurt Loder on it and stuff. Really cool, because I'm a huge Beavis and Butthead fan. They're fantastic. The box set is cheap as hell, too. It's like $25 or something, I think, or $30 maybe. Yeah. For 40 episodes, it's 3 DVDs long. That is a lot.
Nice. Well encoded.
What?
Like, well encoded, small.
They're short, though. They don't have the music video part. It's just the cartoon part.
That's fine with me. I was never a huge fan of the music
video. I never liked them either, but I know a lot of people miss them.
There's a camp of people who they say it was never the same without...
Yeah, and there is definitely some moments when they're making fun of the music videos that is the goddamn funniest thing I've ever seen. And if I got it, there's one I've been looking for years and I can't find it. And Butthead's going like, and I want to say he's making fun of like Rammstein or something, and I can't remember who, but God, it's hilarious. I need that clip.
I don't think Rammstein was in America.
I don't know. That's why it can't be. Yeah, that's why it can't be. But God,
I think they might have existed, but I don't think they were in America.
Yeah, they probably didn't have music videos on MTV or whatnot then. Yeah, maybe I don't know. But God, it was hilarious. But you know, Beavis and Butthead are great. I really wish they would have gone the route of like everybody else did though, and just release a box set. You know, like season, 1 through 3, or whatever, and then here's some extras, and then another set, bam, with
that's
season.
Not the first couple seasons.
No, it's like random picks.
It might be Mike Judd's favorite.
That's what it is. It's Mike. It's the Mike Judge collection.
That?
He's the guy who made it.
Oh,
right. So it's like, that's really cool and all that we have this many episodes now, but it's like, damn it, why can't we have them all? There's a shitload. There's like 200 or something. I swear. There's just so many.
Well, and over the since it's volume 1, we
right.
might get all of them.
Yeah, exactly. And I assume that's based solely on the sales of volume 1 too. You know, if they decide
right.
to keep doing this. But I mean, they even had like a 30-minute infomercial with like Billy Dee Williams or something on MTV about it. It was hilarious because
I'm
they
have to get my hands on this.
It's great. They had Beavis and Butthead dressed up. Like, all, like, nice and, like, like a nice sweater and everything, So, like, they looked all pro now. Like, it's been a couple years. They looked the same. They didn't look older, but they were wearing different clothes. They didn't have, like, their Death Rock and whatnot
right.
shirts on. They had, like, a sweater and, like, they looked very much more professional-like and everything. It was hilarious, though, because they kept saying, like, like all those great one-liners, you know, like, not for, how much would you expect to pay for this, you know? And they're like, 500? Not 500. Not, would you, 300? Not 300. They'd go through it and like, $29.96? Not even for the price of $29.96, but for the low, low price of $29.95. It was hilarious. Like, even that alone was just great. I mean, it was still funny. It was pretty cool. And they were like, they had like a pile of DVDs, and there's like, there's more laughs per, like, he's, this is, like, laughs per minute, the funniest DVD compilation ever. And, like, they had, like, a pile of, like, comedy movies, and he'd, like, throw them off the desk. It was great. I mean, it was even funny just to watch the damn infomercial. But, you know, something to look for if you're a Beavis and Butthead fan, because it's worth it anyway. Like, I would prefer to have them in order, though, but right. Whatever. You know, take what we can get. Hopefully we'll get them all. Let's see. I did watch a crap load of movies, and we haven't had a chance to cover these because we've been talking about some really cool games and stuff, and we had the Xbox 360 release, and all this other big stuff happened, and I had basically a bunch of crappy-ass movies that I'd seen, so we just kind of wanted to go through those. Like Bewitched. I saw Bewitched. That was a very, like, mediocre movie. This has got Nicole Kidman and Will Ferrell in it.
Why did you even bother?
It wasn't my choice.
Okay.
That's the hint I'm going to give you as to how I saw that movie.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, so.
that happens when your hint happens.
Right, yeah. So I'm going to be tied to a lot of movies that I normally wouldn't watch. And this has got Nicole Kidman playing as Samantha. And if anybody remembers the old TV show, you know, she was a witch and lived with a husband, you know, that knew nothing about the magic and all that, and had like her dad would come visit, and he was a warlock and all this stuff. Well, the weird thing about this movie is that the movie is about them remaking the TV show currently. So, like, you're watching the movie and everything, and it introduces Nicole Kidman, and she's doing all kinds of magic and shit, and she, like, her whole thing is she's trying to give up witchcraft just to be a normal person. She's like, I just want to be normal.
Right, and she becomes an actress in...
In Bewitched.
Right.
And in, like, a remake of the TV show Bewitched, where Will Ferrell's the husband, whatever his name was, and she kind of falls for him, and then, of course, they have a little spat where something happens, and, you know, they have a lot of little funny things where, you know, she casts some spells on him and makes him say weird, you know, off... thing, you know, and like
it's a romantic comedy,
right? And it's not a very good one, though, unfortunately. And I really thought, like, I thought it could have been a whole lot better if they didn't make the movie about making the TV show that doesn't exist. You know, it would have been a lot better, I thought, if
they just remade it.
Yeah,
like made a movie.
Yeah, then what was wrong with that? I'm sure that's what a lot of people were expecting too.
Well, I think they wanted to try something a little different. I'm all for that.
Right, that's fine and dandy, but I don't think it worked this time.
Right.
You know, I just don't think it cut it. I mean, it did have some pretty funny moments, but just not a whole lot of them. I give this a rent it with your girlfriend at best. She'll probably rent it and you'll be dragged along. $4 out of $8.75. It wasn't a complete wash. It wasn't a complete wash, but it was not worth owning, and I sure the fuck wouldn't go see this at the theater. I saw House of Wax, and this is a terrible movie. And you know, the dead giveaway this shit was a terrible movie... Paris Hilton is in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. Okay.
There's a reason I never saw that stupid movie with frickin'...
Again? Not my choice. Okay. This is, and she's some stupid-ass teeny bopper in this, you know, and there's a bunch of stupid-ass kids, and they're on some road trip to go to a concert or some shit, and, like, they're in two different cars or something. Somehow they get split up. And, you know, half of these kids wind up in some little shithole town out in, you know, backcountry somewhere because they get, like, a flat tire or whatever the hell happens. No, they're missing it's not important, but I'm forgetting. What's that thing called? A belt, right? And so they have to walk somewhere. So they find some creepy guy, and I don't know, like, they try to make you all scared by all this, you know, weird things happening that are just not that weird, really. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just stupid. And then they try to get you, you know, all scared and worked up over this, and I'd never quite felt it. They wind up at the whole thing of the House of Wax is there's like this building that's entirely made out of wax, and it's like a wax museum type place, and then there's this whole story they find out about this doctor and his kid's diet or something strange, whatever the fuck happened. You're going along, and about halfway through, you just kind of like realize exactly what's going on. Like, you know, right off the top, where this movie's going to wind up.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they kind of just drop the hints too close together or something. And you're just like, oh, I know what's going on, you know, who this guy is, where they are, and I know what's going to happen now. And that's exactly what happens when you're watching it. It was just, like, I have a hard time faulting a movie for me figuring it out because not everybody's going to figure it out. But unfortunately, it's not very creative either.
You can tell when it's too easy.
Yeah, I guess so, but some people don't, you know. I don't know. But, like, if you like bad horror films, okay, maybe you should go see this, but I would not advise... anything over $2. Okay, this is $2 out of $8.75. It sucked ass. High Tension. This movie was like come out in France or something like in 2003, but it was just released on DVD over here.
Mm-hmm. I have never heard of this.
Yeah, I saw it, the reason I got this, and again, this was half my choice. I wanted to go for it looks like a comedy or something. It's called Undead, I think, and they got some dude with like a gas mask and like a fucking chain gun mowing down zombies.
Okay.
All right, I wanted to rent that. Instead, I wound up with High Tension. And this is a couple of French chicks, right? It's these two French girls, and unfortunately, they're not very hot. So they're right. I mean, it just kind of sucks. The movie's dubbed also, so it's terribly hard to watch them move their mouths and hear different voices and right. See it not quite match up. One of them is a lesbian, okay, and she quite obviously has the hots for her friend. Who's straight. They're driving, like, the whole thing is, like, they're driving out to the straight friend's parents for vacation or something. And, like, the very first night they're at her parents' house, like, this van pulls up to the house and like, some guy's, like, banging on the door and, like, her father goes in to open the door and he gets killed. And the next thing you know, everybody's dead except for the two chicks now. And so the guy, like, kidnaps the straight chick. Didn't know that the lesbian chick was in the house. She like, was pleasuring herself and happened to notice that the guy was pulling up to the window and hid when she realized, you know, what was going on when she was hearing screaming and whatnot. So she, okay, the guy kidnaps her friend, throws her in the truck, and she, like, you know, hops in the truck with her or something and tries to help break her out. And as you're watching it, you're noticing that the friend is terribly afraid of her friend. So you're noticing really close that something strange is happening. A very freaky fatal attraction thing, first of all, because, you know, she's completely in love with her friend.
Right.
And then you notice that people start dying, and there's this creepy guy doing it, but, like, her friend, the only person alive now, is terribly afraid of her friend. Now that, like, is 10 minutes in the movie, or well, maybe 20 minutes
the
in.
The straight one is afraid of the lesbian?
Right, all of a sudden, after everybody dies. Hmm. I wonder where this is going. Wonder what's going on here. This must be some kind of a mindfuck movie. So, right away, I kind of, like, fall right on to it, and I know exactly what's going on. I cannot recommend this movie. It's kind of terrible, but if you've seen anything like, you know those weird plot twists, like Fight Club, mm-hmm. and, like, what's the one with Bruce Willis, and Sixth Sense or something, mm-hmm. right? It's one of those kind of plot twists.
Okay.
Unfortunately, you see it coming in the first 20 minutes of the movie, just like the way that they kind of act. And it's terrible because I bet it was a great movie. If you probably didn't pick up on that, it was pretty suspenseful. However, I fell asleep twice trying to watch this movie. You know, I was just bored stiff because I was like, okay, when are they going to get to the point where they tell me exactly who's who, right? And sure enough, you know kind of what happens. At first I was like, oh, wow, okay. Yeah, that was kind of creepy, but you kind of see it coming. So I was not too happy with it, but it was better than House of Wax, so it gets $3 out of $8.75.
Very good.
Okay, High Tension. Now, then I saw The Skeleton Key. This is after a string of movies I did not like. I watched Skeleton Key. This was my pick, by the way. And Skeleton Key has Kate Hudson in it, whoever the fuck that is. She takes a job as a caretaker at this house. They're like in the total south, right? Like hella south, deep south, okay? And she works at like a one of those places where there's a bunch of old people, but like a nursing home or whatever. Okay. And these old people die, and she sees like this old guy die, and they just throw his shit out, and she gets all sad because nobody cares about, you know, oh my god, nobody cares about this guy. His family wants nothing to do with him. I can't deal with this. She looks in the paper, finds an ad for they need a caretaker at this house somewhere. So she's like, okay, this looks good. So like it turns out she's got to take care of this chick's husband who had a stroke on both sides. I guess he can't really move or talk or anything. He just kind of sits there. And it's this old couple. He's hella old. The chick's pretty old. Then there's this younger white dude that's at the house, and he's like their lawyer or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they all kind of hang out, and this chick shows up, and they're like, yeah, you know, stay here. It's great. The old lady doesn't really like, you know, the people that we bring in to take care of her husband, so she's a little rough on around the edges, but you'll get used to her. You know, she'll ease up to you. You're going to live here at the house. You'll have a master key to all the rooms and everything. So she's like, okay, cool, whatever. So one day she's creeping around, and she winds up in the attic, and she finds a door in the attic that's locked. And she cannot open. So, you know, she, like, mentions it to the old lady, and she's like, the old lady's like, I don't know what you're talking about, blah, 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 don't go in there, blah, blah, blah. So, of course, curiosity gets her the better of her. She creeps up into the attic, opens this door, and it's like a creepy-ass, like a voodoo-looking room. You know what I mean? Like, little shrunken head skulls hanging from the wall and pentagrams on the floor, or melted wax candles and shit. And, like, you know, I mean, it's creepy. You know, and, like, the kind of stuff, you got rings with snakes on them, and, you know, it's very voodoo-ish looking. And she finds, like, records of, like, crazy satanic chants and stuff, right? And I'm like, wow, this is going pretty good. I'm pretty into this, you know? So she takes it to her friend in the city, and she's like, look, this is what I'm finding. This is kind of creepy. And it happens that, like, the chick knows something about this. And there's, like, a whole history thing to it where it was basically magic created back, like, in the slavery days that wasn't called voodoo. It was called hoodoo. And it was, like, the belief that if it worked, it worked. You know, like the placebo effect kind of thing, you know?
Right.
Like, so anyhow, this chick's taking care of this old dude, and you notice this in the trailer, so I'm not giving anything away. The old guy comes out to the chick, right? He'll, like, try to talk to her and communicate with her, and you know, you're trying to figure out what's going on here. Like, how can this guy talk even though he had a stroke and he's all screwed up? He can still kind of communicate around just this chick. So she realizes he's under some kind of spell.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole movie is her trying to break the spell on this and figure out what happened. So she's trying to save this old dude, you know, and figure out what happened, while the wife is like, you know, the old lady's like, you're crazy or whatever. And it's pretty good. Like, the story that they put together for this movie had me sucked in. And the explanation for things was great. The whole, like, who people are and everything, like the whole plot twist and everything, it was pretty damn good. Who the people are turns out to be, like, I didn't really see that coming until, like, maybe three quarters of the way through, maybe even later. Then I was like, whoa, is that, no way, you know, what's going on here? They did a damn good job with this movie. I did like it an awful lot. I didn't think it was the most fantastic movie I'd ever seen, because it didn't keep me, like, in complete shock and suspense the whole time. There was points where I thought I was going to daze out because it was just kind of, eh, you know? But, I mean, it wasn't terrible. It was a really good horror flick, though. Like, kind of, not horror, but, like, maybe suspense thriller, I guess.
Right.
Definitely 6 out of 8.75.
Solid.
Yeah, solid. Decent, definitely decent go rent this. If you see this there, pick it up, because it's a good movie.
Okay.
It really is. Then I saw a heaping pile of shit called War of the Worlds. Okay, now, Kobar talked about this a couple months ago and didn't like it. This has Tom Cruise, everybody knows him, Dakota Fanning's that little chick that creeps me out, and Tim Robbins, who I think is pretty badass. He's in it for just a little bit for a scene. He's kind of a demented weirdo in it. We talked about this before, so I'm not going to get into it. But what I want to get into is, one, the effects in that movie were great and terrible. Okay, how come they have these badass mech things that looked great.
So I thought they looked like ass.
So I thought they looked great. And the explosions and all that, I thought was fantastic. But then they start spraying the blood around, and it looks like they just took, like, red rope and spray painted.
Which they never really explained why the hell they were doing that.
Right. And, okay, remember the EMP shock that shut down the entire city?
Uh-huh.
Remember the guy with the video camera taping everything? How the fuck did that work? Remember he drops it, and then they zoom your view zooms down to look through the camera's view? How come nothing in that city worked except for this guy's camera? And there's a couple other things. I was like, why is that this if this is supposed to be this way for the whole movie? But, you know, I was like, ugh. Terrible, terrible. This movie was utter shit.
Or like, why did these aliens decide that they were going to plant these robots thousands of years ago?
Right.
So that they could take over a civilization that might pop up.
You know, yeah, exactly. Okay, this was a freaking terrible movie. I gave it $1 out of $8.75. Avoid this at all costs. It is not worth the disc it's printed on. It is complete shit.
I don't know if it's $1.
It's $1, dude. This movie was terrible.
From what I can tell of House of Wax, I can't see it being worse than House of Wax.
House of Wax is better than this. Yeah. House of Wax was way better than War of the Worlds. It was at least twice as good.
God.
Easy, dude. Fucking War of the Worlds is shit.
It was bad. I am not defending
that whole
movie.
Moment with the sun where he breaks away and, like, goes off and, you know, gets killed and all that. And then at the end of the movie, he's just okay and somehow is at home with the mom who just was chilling at the home the whole time?
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah.
No. You know what this movie needed to be? It needed to be, like, you know what it feels like? It feels like a watered-down, like, Independence Day. Like a ghetto-ass version. Like the
$4. And they're getting freaking hosed. And all of a sudden,
they just shut down.
They all get sick.
Yeah. It was, yeah. Saved by a virus. Okay. Which is the explanation comes at the last 10 seconds of the movie, spoken by the black guy from Seven.
Right,
Wasn't that him?
Morgan Freeman?
Morgan Freeman, right. Yeah, he's the guy who, like, gives up the first 10 seconds intro and the last 10 seconds outro of the movie.
Yeah, and it's like,
talk about, like, no plot.
That was the biggest problem. It's going along, we're getting posed, we're getting totally destroyed, And the last couple minutes, all of a sudden, everything starts breaking down.
Yeah, they're done. Yeah, it was ghetto. Okay, Now, we're running out of time. We got like 2-3 minutes to give a review of what I thought was probably the best movie I've seen in a while. Okay, I actually went to the theater the other day and saw Aeon Flux. Okay, and I know people are going, oh, God. Now, look, I was not a huge fan of the cartoon. I saw quite a few of them, maybe 15 episodes total. Not very many. I never could follow the story. I never knew what it was about. I just thought they had some cool shit happen in it. Whatever. Never big fan. Didn't even realize there was quite a story to it. I didn't care. Okay, so if you're a huge fan of the animation, the animated series, you probably might not like this. You're probably a huge fan of it, and you want it to be exactly faithful to the cartoon. However, it's not like that, and I walked into it just expecting to get a movie. You know, I don't care what it's about. Entertain me. This has that Charlize Theron chick, I hate her name, and Dade Murphy. Ringing any bells? Oh, Zero yeah. Cool? Crash Override, all right? Johnny Lee Miller is his name. He actually plays Oren. Charlize plays as Aeon Flux. Now, what I cannot figure out is how World of Worlds gets a pretty decent review. And yet, I look around for Aeon Flux reviews, and it's getting bad reviews. And they're like, oh, there's no plot. This movie sucked.
I'm like, I think they're giving More of the Worlds good reviews
for the history
classic.
Of it. Exactly. That's what I think, too. This is bullshit. Okay. The plot for this movie, it's fat. I think the storyline is awesome, and they tell you what's going on in the beginning, in the middle, you watch it, and in the end, you've got it wraps up smooth. It's just like, wow, that was a well-put-together movie. You know, you really have to be asleep to not understand this movie. That's a big thing of mine with these, like, sci-fi, like, or fake movies. You know, like, if they do not explain, like, War of the Worlds just happens all of a sudden.
See, it's all about the ending to me.
Okay, see, I like knowing everything that happened. What happened between 2005 and 2411 when this movie was supposedly started? You know, Tell me what happened in there.
Yeah,
give me
all
the backstory.
But what I'm saying is that the movie could be great throughout the whole thing, and if they fuck up the
ending, right, that's going to blow
the
movie.
Done.
That's going to blow
the movie's
movie,
done.
Definitely.
And if the movie's just, you know, so-so, but all of a sudden has a fat ending.
Yeah, no, it was.
It's a real good
movie. It goes
up
in points, right. Definitely.
The ending is key.
Right. This is an MTV film, so I did not expect a whole lot when I sat down, and all of a sudden I saw the MTV logo come up, and I was like, oh, Christ.
Dude. Joe's Apartment.
I've never seen it. I do not think I want to watch that movie, you know? So I was like, how much can I expect from this, right? Well, they set you up right away. Nice, quick, succinct breakdown to throw you into this sci-fi, you know, adventure here. Because they tell you exactly what happened. In, like, 2000, whatever the hell year it was, a virus came out. 2011, I think. A virus wipes out 99% of the Earth population. Okay, everybody's dead now. There's a guy named Trevor Goodchild who's a scientist, and he finds a cure for this. So, you know, the 1% of the population is now cured. People all over the Earth come together because they got to, like, basically restart civilization, right? So they got to work together. The city that they live in, they call Bregna. This is where the Goodchilds, they reign as king for the last 400 years. So all of a sudden, you find all this stuff out. Fat, I know exactly what happened and where we're at in the years, what happened, why we're this way. Some movies just open up and you're on some planet somewhere with some dudes and you got to figure it out. Why is this way? Why did that happen? And I don't like trying to figure this out. Like, why don't just tell
Unless
us?
Unless it's the point.
You know, right. But it's why make us go through these hoops? You know, like, why on Starship, Battlefield Troopers, whatever it is.
Starship Troopers.
No, the other one. Battlefield Earth. Have the hexagon things. Is there a reason for that? Tell me.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me why. You know, or something like that.
KSFN.
How did we get fucking, you know, spaceships all of a sudden? Explain what happened to me, okay? I like knowing. So anyway, okay, the city now is ran by like a panel, not just Trevor and his brother Oren, okay? They're not just the scientists. They have like a panel of dudes that decide how the city operates and everything. There's a secret city of total badass like ninja types called Monikans, and they're basically trying to overthrow the Goodchilds because they're sure that they're causing all kinds of problems in the city and whatnot, and why, like, people are just randomly disappearing. Right? And people are fucked up in the head. There's something wrong with people. Mm-hmm. People walk around and they're like having thoughts that never happened. And they're like remembering things that never happened. And so people are messed up and they blame, of course, the government, you know, and they know what's going on. They got to take these guys down. So you have the evil society, the dark society called the Monikans. And of course, Aeon Flux is the baddest ass Monikan there is. She's, you know, the uber Monikan, right? Mm-hmm. All the ninja-like moves and everything, right? It's fucking cool. So, like, in the beginning of the movie, it kind of, okay, explains what happened, and then she's sent out on a mission, so you kind of learn right now how she operates and what they do. She's sent on a mission to go out to disable, like, their surveillance systems. Turns out, you know, because they're spying on the whole city and making sure that everything's running smoothly, but there's got to be something sinister if they're spying on everybody in the city, right? Mm-hmm. So you get to see some, like, ninja-like moves and some badass ninja gear type things, you know what I mean? Like, really cool stuff, you know?
There's lots of cool wire food.
Like, yeah, right? Sick-ass gadgets, some really nice, like, flipping around, and the combat's pretty cool. I just wish they would have shown it further away more. Sometimes you'll just see, like, a leg fly up and a head go flying behind it. You know, like, you're just getting, like, the punch and the kick part of it, not the whole animation. That was just a little, bugged me a little bit. Something happens right out. Okay, just after that, she disables the surveillance and all that, and you know life's gonna go on. You expect another mission to come up. Well, something big happens to screw with Eon. I'm not gonna give it because it's gonna like major spoiler for the movie what sets it up. And basically, the opportunity to take out Trevor Goodchild, who's like the head of the thing, presents itself. They've gotten they've acquired information on how and when they can assassinate this head guy. So of course they send in Eon Flux, right? And She, of course, is not immune to the weird head trips and problems and everything. There's nothing special about them. They're not like mutants. They're just other people that are just badass, right? At least as far as I can tell from the movie. And they send her out to go ahead and stop, and assassinate him. Well, something happens when she's, like, in, like, the head complex, like, you know, the basic central part of the government. When she's in the building, something happens. And it changes things, and she discovers, now you're unraveling what's happening. And you're watching this whole thing go down, and it's interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, that is a well thought through story, well explained, and everything. I do not see why people cannot follow this movie. I mean, I really, really enjoyed it. They break it all down.
People were complaining about not being able to follow it.
Yeah, there's nothing in the movie that I could not understand, and I have a hard time with this sci-fi crap. You know, usually because I never explain it too. This movie breaks it all down, throws you right into it. They have wicked hairstyles for her, and really cool outfits, by the way. It's rare that you get to see like animation put into real life like that. You know, her hair was pretty cool in some of the scenes and the outfits and whatnot, and the ninja moves and all that shit was really neat. You know, I would have liked to see just a few more fight scenes and everything in the movie, just because they were so well done. I was like, wow. And the last one at the end of the movie is dope. It's really cool. I don't know. I really, really enjoyed the movie. I would even like to see a movie that picks up where this one left off, because it was a full movie. It was like start to finish and end it. It wasn't like left it opening for an ending kind of thing. You could continue on, but it would have nothing to do with, you know, Eon Flux probably. Like, they would just probably never continue it. But I would dig seeing a movie carried on from this whole series. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I really liked it. I would definitely recommend going to see this, and I'm going to say 650 out of 875. It was very good. It probably deserves a little bit more, but it was just not quite the perfect movie. You know, like anything around like a 7 or 750, just not quite that good, or 8 even.
Apparently, if you're a huge Eon Flux fan, like the cartoon.
Eon
Flux fan, go ahead and kind of like separate yourself from that a little bit.
You have to.
Because they're trying to go a little bit of a different route, and they just wanted to use the style
and
the general framework of the cartoon.
Right, exactly. I mean, what would you expect? A movie based on a series of short cartoons where she keeps dying?
Does she?
Yeah, the cartoon, she dies like in every episode.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't want that.
I've never seen one.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. It's okay. I'm not a huge fan of it. I mean, I've seen a few, and it was interesting, and I don't know, I liked watching it, but I never got sucked into it, you know?
Does she die at the end of the movie?
I cannot say.
Okay.
Okay. and you know what? There was two trailers that came out that I saw during that, Final Destination 3. Final Destination 1 was, I think, a fantastic movie. And Final Destination 2 was pretty good. It was all right. I like that.
Number one was really cool, because there's like all these freaking crazy ways they're dying. Number two was the same as far as the crazy ways that people died. It just felt kind of soulless to me.
Yeah, it wasn't nearly as good, but I still liked it. I liked the idea of death trying to chase these people down that are still alive. I really liked it. So I noticed, you know, there's a trailer for Final Destination 3. I wasn't even aware that was coming out. And then there was a trailer for Underworld Evolution.
Okay. I have not seen this trailer, but do they still have the guns that kill each other in one fucking shot?
They must not, because they were shooting an awful lot.
You see, nothing is worse than taking two badass myth races like that are supposed to be hella hard to kill and giving each one bullets that kill them instantly, and so it turns into a fucking shooter.
Yeah.
It might as well have been people.
Exactly, yeah. That was, yeah, you're right.
The last battle in Underworld was fat.
And Kate Beckinsale's still in this and all her awesome hotness.
Very good.
Yeah, so, I mean,
and it's... The last one was fat because they're sword fighting and stuff, and it's sick.
Yeah. She fights some hot blonde chick in this, too. At least, like, you see, like a one-second flicker of her fighting some hot blonde chick. I don't know. Actually, she might have not been hot, but she... I'm going to say, so we got Kate Beckinsale and some hot blonde chick. This movie's a watcher, right? There was something else cool about it, though, that looked really neat. I can't remember what it was. Oh, no, they create a new race. somehow a new race comes out and there's some new badass guy they gotta kill. So I'm have big hopes for this. So I really want to see.
As long as they get rid of the we're just gonna be two myth races shooting at each other.
That's gay.
I hated it.
That's gay.
It was so disappointing because I saw the preview for the first one and they're like doing all kinds of jumps off like a 12-story building.
It was badass.
And Wolverine or werewolves are climbing up the ceiling and stuff. Yeah.
I still enjoyed the movie, but that whole bullet thing was just like, I can't believe. You know, you're right. It was just
cheesy.
It was. It was a bad way to go about it.
They took a really cool idea and then made it a regular shooter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So, we'll be back next week. We're out.
Later.